You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast.
Newchurches.com, tell your friend, tell your dad, tell your mom.
Okay, I couldn't tell if that was like an auction voice,
I'm not
a
sure
rapping
it was.
Voice.
It was monotone and loud and
or
off-key.
A county fair voice.
I don't know.
It could actually kind of be a little bit more. Try that again. Can you do it fast? Like, can you do it like the auction?
NewChurches.com, tell your friend, tell your dad, tell your mom.
Going once, going twice, going
twice.
Oh,
NewChurches.com.
Well, be sure to download.
Sorry.
That's okay. It's a part of our thing.
It's a spiel.
Yeah.
You're not going to edit this out, are you?
No, of course not.
Okay, go.
And if people don't like it.
Okay, get through the intro. I won't interrupt anymore. Come on.
All right. Well, the big thing I want to say is go to NewChurches.com. And click on courses, because we have two courses up right now. Missional Church Multiplication is our most recent one. And it is a course to help your church become more missional, to transition. If you are a church well-established in your neighborhood and you're thinking about planting or you're even thinking about multi-site, we have sessions on multi-congregational ministry from John Tyson, Trinity Grace Church up in New York. And we have other sessions on bivocational ministry, and it's just really a helpful course to help you transition your church to engaging and to being more incarnational in your area and being more missional. So be sure to check that out. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Todd Adkins.
What?
So do people say Adkins? Adkins?
They say both.
The Adkins diet?
The Atkins diet, I think.
Oh, is it the Atkins diet?
Yeah, it's ATK.
Okay.
I'm ADK.
Okay.
We spell it correctly.
So a few weeks ago here at Lifeway, Todd was on vacation, which I'm so happy you took a vacation, not because you weren't here, but because you deserved it. And you had me sit in on a meeting and do a presentation for you.
Yes.
So when I sat in on the meeting and New Church's audience, I've not told this to Todd yet. So this is live.
This is live. This is live. Yeah. Right now.
So
wish
when I
you could see my face.
His eyes are popping out of his head. So when I did the presentation for you, there was a slide behind me that had the name of our presentation, and then it said, Todd Adkins, quotations, Daniel M, quotation, you know, or sorry, not quotation, brackets, Daniel M right beside. So I went up and I was like, man, how am I going to ever follow in the footsteps of Todd in presentation?
Sure, sure. Really,
but when I went up, I was like, hey guys, my name is not Todd from Kentucky. I'm Daniel from Canada. And it generated a good response. Yes. I was pleased with that.
Well, I'm glad you were pleased with yourself.
All right. Well, today's
Daniel,
question. Today's question is from Seth Major. Let's listen in.
Hey everyone. My name is Seth Major, and I'm a bivocational church planter in New Lenox, Illinois, which is a southwest suburb of Chicago. My question has to do with discipling brand new believers and comes out of a burden, really, for the discipleship deficiency that we are seeing kind of nationwide. So my question has to do with what are some processes and strategies and tools that you have seen or would recommend when it comes to walking alongside of a new believer and discipling them? Also, what types of resources should a church be ready to provide for a new believer? I appreciate newchurches.com, and we are really excited to have Ed in the Chicagoland area. Thanks, guys.
Oh, well, okay. He's not there yet.
So. Okay, so I know Seth, right?
Okay.
He's part of our community.
There you go.
We met each other in person at Exponential East, and he actually said resources intentionally as a it was a jab at me. I don't know if you caught that. Like, and I'm not being paranoid because we've talked about this before.
Okay.
But he said resources.
Resources.
I was actually on the drive in today.
Yeah.
I was saying to myself, I was like, resources. I was actually saying that to myself on the way in. For like 30 seconds. I wasn't obsessing over it. And I was like, I actually can't say resources. It just feels wrong.
Okay.
So discipling brand new believers. Let me start with a quote from Robert Coleman, Master Plan of Evangelism. If Sunday services and membership training classes are all that a church has to all that a church has to develop young converts into mature disciples, then they are defeating their own purpose by contributing to a false security. And if the new convert follows the same lazy example, it may ultimately do more harm than good. There's simply no substitute for getting with people, and it is ridiculous to imagine that anything less, short of a miracle, can develop strong Christian leadership.
Let's close in prayer.
Boom.
I know. Our mics are attached to things. Otherwise, I would drop it.
What I right love now. About this quote, and I mean, Todd, you and I, you know, large church experience.
Yeah.
I mean, we had to think about not just discipling one person, but not even tens, but hundreds, thousands. How do we do that? And honestly, the tension came about with, hey, okay, do we really want to allocate our time and resources to environments of discipling new believers where it's only 1 to 3 people, right? Whereas, hey, how can we do that when there's thousands of people that we need to disciple? But where our church ended up with was that new believer experience, when someone becomes a believer for the first time, there was no way to get around the idea of systematizing or mass allowing that to happen, because that new believer does need a lot of attention, does need focused discipleship, prayer, and an intentional process in that. So we didn't want to mass produce that experience.
No, but I do think there are things that you can do from a systems and processes and resource perspective where you can give people tracks to run on.
Completely.
So yeah, completely. For me, I mean, you know, again, I think I've said this before on this podcast as well, but, you know, I look back and the people that meant the most in my life or that helped me develop the most weren't pastors. Mm. They were just good and godly people who were using, you know, like I'm telling you, if you grew up in the church, you probably remember something called a survival kit.
Yep.
And, you know, that was something that somebody walked me through. Like I had to take some responsibility to do some of the work myself, but they walked me through that. They you know, interacted with me and asked me good questions. And part of the issue with discipleship is right now the emphasis on one-on-one discipleship, and a lot of younger guys especially are railing that, you know, nobody's doing discipleship and nobody discipled me. Fine. You somehow made it to this point.
Yeah.
Whether or not it was intentional or not, hopefully somebody along the way had invested in you. So I would say this, there are surely people in your congregation that are good and godly people who are perfectly, they're not a pastor. They're not a pastor, but they're perfectly capable of walking someone through a process and investing in that person.
Which goes back to our Ephesians 4 vision.
Goes back to
not the, just
the yeah. Great Commission.
Yeah.
You're
yeah,
not to just be supposed equippers. To be a disciple. You are supposed to make disciples.
Yes.
That's all of us.
Yeah.
Not some of us. That's all of us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talk about the priesthood of the believer all the time. But we forget in the Protestant side, we focus on the communication piece of it, which is basically that, you know, we don't need a priest to confess our sin to God. We don't need to pray through a saint in order for him to hear us. But we forget the calling piece. We forget that everyone is called, and everyone is called to be a developer. If you are a disciple of Christ, congratulations, you're called to develop other people.
Yeah.
And so you may not have, a natural bent toward that, especially, in our church today where we have staff, who do that. You know, it's like, oh, that's their job. No, it's all of our job. The staff's job is to find those people to get connected with and do that. I will say this. You mentioned I was on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
I was on vacation with my small group.
Yeah.
And that small group, one of the people that was in there is a guy named Joel Rosenberg, who some people know his nonfiction and fiction writing. He's a writer. He actually became famous because he wrote about the planes crashing into the Twin Towers before happened.
Yeah.
He was a speechwriter for Bush and one of the Bushes and aide for Netanyahu, all kinds of, like, this guy's story is crazy. Mm. But he was invested in by a guy from India named Bhat Singh. So people know all his stuff from a fiction, nonfiction, action thriller writing side.
Yeah.
But the reality of the situation is he has one of the best books on discipleship you'll ever read. It's called The Invested Life. Mm. And it lays out a really good framework. Of course, Lifeway recognized about 2 years ago, I remember the meeting where we were talking about how outdated the survival kit was and we wanted to create something new that kind of went, you know, that took people, that gave people a map, you know, not a menu. Not, hey, there's all these different resources that you can have for new believers. No, this is something that's systematic to walk people through. And that's called the Disciples Path.
And you can find that at lifeway.com/disciplespath.
I hear the training is incredible on there. Is that true?
Yeah, they have an Asian guy.
A
Canadian guy on there.
Who does the training for them?
Yeah, there we go.
Leaders guy.
Hey, but you know what? I mean, going to that, we can all think back to when we were discipled, right? And I feel like that's a really good starting point.
Some people can't.
No, I mean, but if they're in ministry, if they are planting a church or leading a campus, I mean, there's some part in your life where someone invested in you for you to even get to where you're at now.
But here's what I would push back, Daniel, and say that some people don't realize that they were invested in. People don't realize that they were discipled because they have a picture in their mind of what that looks like.
Yeah.
And so they would say, no one discipled me.
Yeah, you're right. So when you look at discipleship and when you look, Seth, at creating a process and a system to resource, to walk alongside new believers, what I want to encourage you not to do is to just give them a new believer's pack that has a New Testament Bible and a track in it. Don't do that, right? But actually walk them through a process where you're focusing on knowledge,
experience, and coaching.
So one of the ways that you can do that is honestly by looking at Disciples Path, because Disciples Path actually brings you through not the first steps as a disciple, right? And then it goes to what it looks like to be more intimate with Jesus. After that study, it explores your new identity, and then explores doctrinal truths, the essential disciplines, spiritual disciplines, and what it means to join God in his work. And this was actually developed with experts in discipleship, pastors, practitioners. And honestly, check it out, because this is one of the most exciting things, not because I was part of the training, but it is actually in this realm, in this area of new believer process, that's not just knowledge.
Yeah.
Right? That's not just here's a pack. It really does bring together knowledge, experience, and it gives you the ability to coach and walk alongside them through that.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing I would say is, you know, find a resource and then recognize that you're going to have to spend time with these people or help the people who are meeting with them recognize that they're going to need to spend time with them. So that means bring them to your house. Mm-hmm. That means bring them with you to whatever it is you're doing. I mean, that's a big part of development, is taking someone with you.
Yeah.
So as you go, as you're doing life, they need to see that. They need to see, you know, what it looks like to have a healthy family. They need to see what it looks like when a healthy family doesn't look so healthy and you have to apologize to your wife or your children, or, you know, it's inviting people into your life, especially new believers who have no background whatsoever in Christianity. It's really vitally important for them not to see, not to leave a vacuum in their head of what this is supposed to look like. You got to show them what it looks like. Good, bad, and ugly.
Thanks again for listening in. I hope you enjoyed today's discussion around new believers and discipleship. There's a lot of resources that we talked about in this, so make sure you go to the show notes, which is newchurches.com/podcasts, and click on today's episode to get more information and the links of all the resources that we discussed. Be sure to send your questions in as well, as we would love to answer them on the podcast. We'll check you out next time.